Hi, my name is Hans Peter Meyer, and you're listening to the Lift Startups podcast series, all about the entrepreneurs, creatives, and small businesses who are growing the next economy on Vancouver Island.
Hi, Adam.
Hey, Hans.
Hey, everybody else who's listening. Today, I'm talking with Adam Spiegel of BDC, or Business Development Canada. I guess we'll start with Adam. What is BDC?
So BDC is actually Business Development Bank of Canada. The acronym doesn't really make sense for those of us that speak English, and that's because we are a bilingual federal crown corporation, and BDC works as an acronym in French.
It also keeps it nice and short, too.
It sure does. We've evolved over the years. We've actually been a number of different acronyms, whether it be FBDB or the Development Bank of Canada. Over the years, we've kind of changed our mandate. Initially, we were formed by the federal government to help the Canadian economy to transition from a war-based economy to a post-war economy. Today, our mandate really is just to accelerate the growth of Canadian entrepreneurs here in Canada. We do it in really two simple ways. One is we provide financing to Canadian businesses that need to accelerate their growth. We finance basically anything you can think of: goodwill, intellectual property, software, other IP, and information communication technology. But we also do traditional financing, so real estate, equipment, things of that nature. And then the other key component of BDC is advice. And we do that through advisory services and consulting. And when it comes to providing advice, it complements our financing. So if you think of financing as being able to be a targeted approach to assisting with projects, kind of a band-aid solution for seizing an opportunity or resolving a problem, the consulting comes in and it kind of solidifies a more long-term approach to developing a long-term project or resolving a deep-seated issue within an organization.
Who's your target market? Like who are the kinds of businesses that you like to work with?
So we like to work with all Canadian businesses. The key distinction is it has to be owned by Canadians. And has to be a Canadian corporation, sole proprietorship, or joint venture. But as long as it's serving Canadians, it's growing jobs within Canada, helping to grow the Canadian economy, we're here to support all Canadian businesses.
So there's no, like, it doesn't matter how small you are or how big you are?
No, we work from, cottage-based industries, micro-businesses, to many of Canada's largest companies. And on those deals, we would be involved with kind of venture capital financing, syndicate financing, and other services.
So you're in the, like, what is your region? What is your particular region?
So I'm part of what's called the Vancouver region, which is made up of a few different business centers over on the Lower Mainland. And then we have a business team based out of Victoria that covers the South Island. And then the area that I report to is based in Nanaimo, and I cover the entire North Island. So that would be from Port Hardy and Port McNeil, Port Alice, so the Triport area, mm-hmm. all the way down to Qualicum Beach, and everything east all the way to Powell River, and everything west to Tassis, Sebalus, and Gold River.
Wow.
So, yeah, quite a large geographic area. But that said, we're at a point now where we've seen significant growth in our business over the past 2 years. And we've realized that I've been at capacity for basically since the time that I joined BDC 2 years ago. And I can successfully announce today that we have hired a second employee to help cover that area.
Wow, very cool. So, this is pretty exciting for me, given that what I want to see happen is lots of entrepreneurs moving forward and creating the kind of economy that will get my kids looking back at this place as a place of opportunity. What kind of numbers are we talking about here in terms of numbers of new business starting or dollar value of what you guys invest?
Yeah, so
or loan, actually, I guess is what you're saying.
Sure. So, you know, I guess on the financing side of things, we don't have a limit for how little a business can borrow. So, you know, we will certainly do micro loans. We do that through an online platform that we launched last year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's accessible through bdc.ca. It's a simple online application. Businesses and business owners can put in their personal information, some basic information about their business. We've tried to keep it as simple as possible. And part of the reason is we wanted to create a simplified process for lending. And this is in response to the fintech industry, which has really come in and disrupted the entire banking and lending industries. And that's because they're so nimble and able to provide answers and funding in such a short period of time. So we've kind of, in response to that, created our own fintech offering, which is our online financing. So businesses can borrow up to $100,000 through our online financing platform. Those that are looking to borrow more than $100,000 would be meeting with an individual like myself or the new employee that we've hired. And then in terms of like the largest dollar amounts that we're lending here locally, there isn't a limit. You know, certainly we can accommodate the largest businesses here on Vancouver Island. That said, I think within the portfolio of businesses that we're currently working with, I would think that the largest loans outstanding are somewhere in the range of about 10 to 15 million in terms of total borrowings here on the North Island.
And what's the smallest loan you've currently got in the books?
Probably a few dollars. It would be a loan that's, you know, about to be fully repaid and amortized.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of like new loans, I can't think off the top of my head what the smallest loan is. But it would be what most of us would be considering a micro loan.
Okay. What kind of numbers of businesses do you work with in a year?
So currently I'm working with about 60 businesses here on the North Island. That's me personally. Mm-hmm. We also have another account manager that helps to provide capacity to the clients that we serve here on the North Island. There's probably another 100 to 150 that individual is helping to serve. We also have a partnership with Futurepreneur, which Hans, I know you're certainly familiar with.
I am, yeah.
Yeah, they've come out.
They're doing great stuff, yeah.
Yeah, they do great work. They've come out and they've spoken to your group at Lyft a number of times. So they are certainly limited with their funding. I believe they can only lend up to $15,000. And so we work with Futurepreneur and their entrepreneurs to provide them with larger amounts of financing. I believe it's up to $45,000 per entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And so there's a number of individuals that are part of that joint program. We have another account manager based in Vancouver that serves all of the entrepreneurs that are part of the Futurepreneur program here on Vancouver Island. So, you know, if I was to guess how many entrepreneurs within my area we're working with, so that would be Qualicum Beach to Port Hardy, we're probably in the range of about 200 to 300 individual businesses. And that would be on the financing side of things. There'd be a number of businesses that would also be engaging with us just on consulting and not mm-hmm. working with us on the financing. It's you know, surprising for most people, but we actually work with businesses that aren't taking financing from us to engage with them and provide them with the advisory services so that, you know, they can grow at a faster pace too.
So is that a cost? Like, would I pay for that kind of advising?
Yeah, so advisory services is fee for service. And so we do charge a fee for it. It's a project-based consulting approach. So mm-hmm. generally the projects are 3 to 4 months and it's targeted. So we could get involved, we would scope a project. We would provide known deliverables going into that project, give a clear timeline for when the project can be accomplished. And then, we would price out the project. And the projects range from $7,500 for a kind of more micro project targeted at a smaller business. So usually that's a business that's doing less than $2 million a year in revenues, to, you know, one of our larger offerings, which is targeted at really large, fast growing companies. So that would be businesses that are doing anywhere from about 15 to, you know, $20 million in revenue per year at this point, and are really looking to scale up and grow their business. We offer what's called a growth driver program, where we team them up with a group of ex-executives from really large companies, kind of Fortune 500 or even Fortune 50 companies. And we would help them to grow at a faster pace. And that project is over a two-year period. So that's our longest project. And I believe the cost of that is upwards of $150,000.
Wow. Well, it sounds pretty exciting, though, to be part of something like that. Most of our members are, you know, even $7,500 would be a lot of money for them to look at. What kind of resources are there for, you know, for some of these really early stage startups?
Sure. So there's certainly a number of resources that we can provide. So to enable, you know, micro businesses to get into the consulting. One is we do finance all of our consulting services. So we don't want the price to be a barrier for a business to take advantage of being able to see value in growing their business through the advice that they can get and the support they can get through the consulting services. That said, I would acknowledge that, you know, even at $7,500, it's not always the best fit. So there are other consultants here in the community that I can introduce people to if we're not the right fit. I think the important thing is that businesses and business owners acknowledge that they don't know everything. They can't be good at all facets of their business. And my approach personally, and the approach that I think most businesses should take, is focus on what you do really well. Focus on what you like to do within your business. And get the help that you need for the other areas of your business. And whether that's learning how to do those other facets of your business better so that you can do them yourself, or bringing in external partners to do it for you and somewhat outsourcing those roles or those duties. I think if a business can do that, then they can be more successful.
So just my last question here before we take a short break is, why would I want to go to, I mean, you guys laid out lots of great reasons, but why would I want to go to you instead of the banks?
Yeah, so our whole focus is growing Canadian businesses and only working with entrepreneurs. I believe we're the only institution that is solely focused on Canadian entrepreneurs. What I would say is we're a conduit to a number of different resources here that are provided by government agencies. So, you know, we partner with a number of different groups. So EDC would be one of them, NAV Canada, as well as the Trade Commissioner. So we can really provide that conduit to a number of different resources for businesses that are growing very quickly. When it comes to financing, businesses like to work with us probably because of the common sense approach that we take to working with their business. You know, we're fair in terms of the pricing that we provide for financing solutions. We don't ask for too much security when we provide a term sheet or a letter of offer. So personal guarantees are usually reduced in relation to what a chartered bank or a credit union would ask for. And generally speaking, we're willing to take on more risk, whether that means working with a more early stage business or a business that maybe is dealing with some challenges at the time, or whether it comes to the way that we look at our security that we're financing. So, you know, if we're financing real estate, we might finance 90 or 100% of the purchase price of the real estate. When it comes to equipment, we might do 100% or even up to 125% of the purchase price of the equipment. And so really what that enables a business to do, and why many businesses that are growing quickly like to work with us, is all of those things are targeted towards providing more working capital for the business. And it's a known fact that a business, the key limiting factor for most growing businesses is working capital. So if you can keep more working capital in the business, then the business can grow at a faster pace. So
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, so I would say on the financing side, that's usually why businesses like to work with us. Many businesses really appreciate that we're here to provide advice as well. The consulting, like I said, complements the financing. And, you know, what I'll share with you, Hans, and the group that's listening is that StatsCan was commissioned, I believe it was 5 years ago, to do some research on the impact that BDC was having. Because we're constantly measured by the federal government on the impact we're having on the entrepreneurs that we work with. And what they found was actually really exciting. It showed that businesses that worked with us and took financing and consulting services grew at a pace of 8% faster than their peers.
Wow.
So to me, that shows, A, that we're having a positive impact, and the services that we're providing are really hitting the mark.
Wow, that must feel really good.
It does. Yeah. I mean, that's for me why I got into this industry, here to help people, you know, to show keen interest in people's businesses and to know that what I'm doing is actually serving the greater benefit of the community is certainly something that gives me great gratification.
Okay. So what's the easiest way for people on the North Island to get in touch with you and your office?
Yeah. So for people that want to meet with me, see how I can help them grow their business, the best way to reach out is either directly by phone at 250-331-9570. That number again is 250-331-9570, or by email at adam.spiegel, S-P-E-I-G-E-L, at bdc.ca. Or alternatively, if they're looking just to borrow some quick money, less than $100,000, want to find out more about some of the tools that we have and some of the services we can provide, they can reach us at bdc.ca.
Okay, thanks a lot, Adam. We're just going to take a quick break now as we prepare for the second segment. So, yeah, just thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you in a minute.
Thanks. Hey, Hans.
Hey, Adam. Welcome back to the second part of the podcast here. This is a bit more focused on you. In fact, it's entirely focused on you. But tell me a little bit about why you decided to join BDC, a little bit of your background.
Sure. So I actually kind of fell into banking. I think if you had asked my friends growing up or my family whether I'd ever work for a bank, they all probably would have told you 9 years ago that there's no way in hell that Adam would have ever worked for a bank. yeah, like many in 2009, 2008, you know, we were in the deep recesses of the worst recession ever experienced. And I was just finishing up my MBA, and the last component of my MBA was an internship. And as a student without much money, I really couldn't afford to take an unpaid internship. And during the recession, one of the few industries that was still making pretty substantial profits was the banking industry. So, yeah, they are recession-proof, as many of you would probably think. But I was able to find and land an internship with Bank of Montreal at the time. They were offering paid internships. And so, you know, I figured I would take the internship, I'd complete the MBA, and 3 months later, I'd find a job that I really wanted to do in an industry that I appreciated. And 3 months later, I finished my internship. We were still in a deep recession. There were no jobs to be had. And what I realized was that the banking industry really wasn't as bad as I thought it was. There was certainly opportunities to help people. And that was kind of one of my key motivations in life, was to try and work with people and to really provide them with the tools so that they could be more successful. And it seemed like, although I didn't fully agree with everything about the banking industry and Canadian banks, I could get my head around that because the job itself enabled me to kind of fulfill some of my dreams. So Continued to work with Bank of Montreal for a number of years, then took a position with HSBC in commercial banking. Cut my teeth with their organization in commercial banking, received some great training. But over the years working for the chartered banks, I really realized that I was really serving the benefit of the shareholders of these banks. And I had a hard time with that, knowing that everything that I was doing was really just working towards increasing the profits for the banks and making the shareholders of these banks more profitable.
So that's a nice segue into this question, which is, what's the favorite thing about the work you do today with BDC?
Yeah, so I think one of my favorite things is that my personal value set really aligns well with BDC. You know, being a federal crown corporation, we're here to service and serve, you know, all Canadians, and to create a greater benefit for all Canadians. We're not profit driven. We do make a slight profit every year, and that enables us to show the federal government that we're independent, we're sustainable, and to allow us to kind of operate at an arm's length without them meddling too much in our affairs. And so as long as we're having a positive impact and we can show that we're doing good things for Canadians and Canadian businesses, then usually the federal government is happy with us. Now, that said, I mean, you know, to go back to your question, what I like about my job today, I like that what I'm doing is always the right thing for Canadian businesses. So, you know, in terms of the types of loans that we provide, they're all what's called non-demand loans. So when I worked for the chartered banks, I always struggled with the fact that any of the loans that I provided to Canadian businesses could be called at any point in time. So for any reason, you know, possibly because the institution didn't like the industry at the given time, or the business's financial situation deteriorated, for really for any reason, they could call the loan of that business. And they do that from time to time. And I always struggled with that. You know, I'll share a little story with you, and that's that growing up, I come from a family of entrepreneurs, and my father and my grandfather's businesses actually were foreclosed on by a Canadian financial institution. So I always grew up struggling with the idea that, you know, our family business went under. We lost the family business to a bank that decided that they were going to call their loans. And so I saw that the actual effects that having a demand loan can have on a family and a business. And, you know, it's tough to see other entrepreneurs get into a situation where they're kind of exposing themselves to that type of risk. And here today, I can say at BDC, we offer non-demand loans. And I believe we're the only institution in Canada that does that. And that has a huge benefit to Canadian entrepreneurs and to their businesses. So, wow. So that kind of value, I think, really aligns well personally with my value set, which gives me a lot of gratification about the job that I'm doing. I'd say the other thing is, you know, from time to time, the federal government does give us certain objectives. And, you know, usually they're things that I actually truly believe in. When the Liberals came into power a couple of years ago, they said, there's three things that we'd like you guys to focus on and create some services that are really targeted at these groups. The first was Indigenous businesses. So they said, come up with some services and provide some better value propositions to these Indigenous businesses, because this is a marginalized group that needs to be better supported in the Canadian economy. To me, that's fantastic. The other group was women. Women is also another underrepresented group in Canadian businesses today. So, you know, the federal government said, develop some programs to help elevate women in business in Canada. And the third was information communications technology. So the OECD did a study a number of years ago that showed that Canadian businesses were underinvested in information communications technology. And so what that meant was we were investing less in automation and other forms of technology, which would enable us to be more competitive. So we're falling behind in our peers compared to other OECD countries. And so the Fed said, you know, develop some programs that will make it easier for Canadian businesses to invest in technology. So we did that. So all of those things have really contributed to me really feeling like I'm working for the right organization, one whose values are well aligned with mine.
Cool. So what are three things that people don't know about what BDC provides? You talked earlier about loans and consulting. Is there other things that we don't know about?
Sure. So I think I already mentioned non-demand loans, but, you know, I would say that's probably one of the best kept secrets, is that all of our loans are non-demandable. The other would be that we are Canada's largest venture capital group. So we provide more money into the VC space than any other organization here in Canada. And then the other would be that we are the largest consulting group by volume of projects here in Western Canada.
Wow. Okay. Now back to you personally. What is something or some things quirky or different that most people don't know about you?
So I think most people don't know, I was actually born in Jerusalem, in Israel. I was raised in Toronto. So something different about me is that I grew up in Canada's largest city, right downtown. And now I'm living in a small town, Cumberland, BC, a town of less than 4,000 people.
And what's that like for you?
Oh, it's a great place. My wife and I have made the decision to raise our family in a small community. Couldn't be happier about that decision. It's a very community-minded town with some really great resources for raising a family, whether it be the community trails, the community forest, BMX track, jump park for mountain bikes, mountain bike trails. There's constantly different festivals and arts and culture in our little town. And so for a really little town, it certainly punches above its weight class.
So in terms of your career or your life, what was your biggest failure and what did it teach you?
So while I was doing my undergrad, I went tree planting, which as an aside, I think is probably one of the best rites of passage for any young Canadian to do. My first summer, I went up to a little small town just northwest of Thunder Bay called Upsala. And I'll just tell you a little funny story. It's on the Trans-Canada Highway. If any of you have ever driven across the Trans-Canada, it seems like every little town has their own little or large statue in front of the town. And the statue kind of commemorates something about the town. And Upsala has a massive mosquito statue in front of their town. And it's one thing just to have a mosquito statue, because that's kind of weird, right? But I can kind of get my head around that and appreciate that maybe they're just saying that they have tons of mosquitoes in this little town. But this large mosquito actually in its legs is holding a human and is, you know, almost looking like it's going to suck the blood of this human. So not the most welcoming place to go. But I spent a summer working up in Upsala as a tree planter. And my first summer tree planting, I failed. I think I basically broke even. So between all of the costs of getting there and purchasing equipment, I pretty much just at the end of 2 months walked away with breaking even. And so I failed, absolutely. What that taught me was if I wanted to do better, I needed to become mentally stronger, I needed to become physically stronger, and I needed to perfect my craft. The tree planting, might find it hard to believe, but it is a skill that you develop over time, and it does take practice. So rather than just failing and giving up, I dedicated myself over the following school year to improving my craft. And the following summer, I went out to British Columbia and I tree planted, and I very quickly became a highballer and was one of the best tree planters in my crew.
And congratulations.
So barely breaking even to being very successful. It did take time and it was hard, but it taught me that, you know, I could have just given up. But for me, it was important that I succeed and I put in the hard hours and it all paid off in the end.
Great story. Have mentorship or community played a role in your success?
Definitely. Community is a big part of what I do and you know, part of what drives me every day. You know, you mentioned early on in this conversation, you know, you look to try and create a community where people can raise families and those kids can stay in that community and really flourish. And for me, you know, part of what gives me joy in what I do every day is, yeah, I'm helping entrepreneurs, I'm helping them to be more successful, but I'm also helping them to create more jobs and to create a more cohesive, sustainable entrepreneurial ecosystem. And all of that is, it's not altruistic. I mean, that's creating a benefit for me, because personally, when I walk down the street, I'm seeing a more vibrant Main Street in Courtney, or Main Street Shoppers Row in Campbell River, or a Main Street in Cumberland. And for me, when those areas are more vibrant, there's more interesting businesses for me to shop at. There's more jobs for people in my community to seek, and more jobs for my children to hopefully one day have access to. And that'll hopefully mean that my kids can grow up and they can stay in this community rather than feeling like they need to leave.
Well, that's a nice segue into the next question, which is about kids, or about you as a kid. So what was your favorite book as a child?
You know, that's a hard question, because I think I had different favorite books at different stages in my childhood, like most people. But, you know, I think at one point in time, one of my favorite books was The Paper Bag Princess. And I think it still is. You know, I read that regularly to my daughter. I think it's a good book with a really good message.
And why was that significant for you as a kid?
You know, I think it teaches a child to be independent and to really not worry about what other people think. And yeah.
Okay. And as an adult now, what has been your favorite book?
I think one of my favorite books has been Wayfinders by Wade Davis.
Mm-hmm.
He's a really interesting ethnobotanist and great writer, great public speaker. If any of you haven't heard him speak before, I'd recommend checking out one of his books from the Massey Lectures or one of the speeches he gave at TED Talks.
And Wayfinders is the one that kind of sticks out for you.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah.
What are you reading right now?
So I've got two young kids. We just had our second child a month ago. There's not a lot of time for free reading, reading for enjoyment. Lately, I've been reading parenting books. And actually leading up to the birth of our second child, I was reading a book called The Birth Partner, or Birthing uh-huh. Partner. Really outstanding book that helped me to get more prepared for what labor and delivery was going to be like. If you can ever be prepared for that.
I don't know.
My second child is, or my first child, sorry, is 2.5 years old and can be quite challenging as a toddler right now. So I've been reading a couple of different books on parenting a toddler.
Okay. What's the smartest thing you've ever done?
Ooh. That's a good question. Hard to say what the smartest thing I've done is. One of the smartest things I think I've done was I realized the value of education in terms of opening doors, you know, benefiting me personally. So, you know, continuous dedication to bettering yourself through education, I think, is probably the smartest thing, the smartest mantra that I've kind of developed. So, you know, whether that be, you know, formal education or informal education, I think just having a dedication to continuous improvement personally is probably the smartest thing that I've done.
What's the dumbest thing you've ever done?
I really can't talk about it.
Okay. What's the scariest thing you've ever done?
Oh, the scariest thing. I would say, you know, I'm an avid mountain biker. And one of the scariest things that I've done is on my mountain bike is to ride at Whistler in the mountain bike park. There's some really big jumps and berms and speeds that you're able to take your bike. And I would say trying to keep up with a friend of mine that was living there and had lots of experience with downhill riding was definitely one of the scariest things that I've ever done.
Okay. What new, and this is a nod to Tim Ferriss and his podcast series called The Tribe of Titans, which inspired this one. What new belief, behavior, or habit adopted within the last 5 years is having the most positive impact in your life today?
So, I can't say it's necessarily the newest habit, but it's kind of been confirmed for me recently, which is, making sure that you take time for yourself, and that that time can be is dedicated to your own personal well-being. Having two young kids now, it's kind of been solidified that you really don't have that much time in your day, whether it be a successful professional or an entrepreneur. And so taking time for yourself away from the stresses and vigors of your daily job and business is vitally important. And, taking that time for your own personal well-being. So, just taking care of yourself, being physically active during that time, focusing on your own mental health. So going for a walk or a run. All of those things I think are really important, but just making sure that you have that time to yourself, a peace and quiet, and time for self-reflection is really, really important. And it doesn't have to be that long, but for me, I like to go to the gym on my lunches, and that gives me kind of 1 hour of dedicated time per day to just focus on Adam.
Okay. If you could have a conversation with somebody who died before you were born, who would that be and what would you talk about?
Oh, that's an interesting one. Who would I talk to? I think I'd probably want to talk to a world leader, somebody that's made a major impact. It's hard to say who it would be. Gandhi always comes to mind as one of those people that all of us probably would want to meet at some point if we could have, just based on him being such an amazing person that was able to unite an entire country and had this beautiful message of peace. So yeah, I guess I would probably just say Gandhi.
Okay. back to Vancouver Island and you being an Islander, what is one thing every Vancouver Islander should do this year? Something most Islanders don't know about or don't know the value of?
I think getting outdoors and experiencing the great provincial and national parks that we have here on Vancouver Island. And yeah, when I say getting out there and taking advantage of it, doing a day trip or camping, but really just getting out into nature. I think most of us realize the importance of that. That's probably a major reason or driving force behind why we live on Vancouver Island. I know certainly it is for me, but for those that don't already spend the time outdoors, I think just kind of getting outdoors and spending time in the great parks that we have here on the island is vitally important.
You still there, Adam? I just had a call come in and
No worries.
Okay. If someone gave you $1 million to support local entrepreneurs, what three you do? What would you be your priorities?
Yeah, it's probably going to sound funny, but I completely agree with the three key mandates that we have as an organization at BDC right now. So I think I'd support more Indigenous businesses. I would create some programs to help promote more women in business so we can kind of equalize the numbers of men and women in business here on the island. And here locally. And I'd probably give some money to some really interesting tech companies here on the island. I think my targeted approach to that would probably be focusing on clean tech. So providing some funding for local entrepreneurs to develop some ways to maybe provide spill response, which I think is kind of a timely issue right now, given everything that's happening with the Kinder Morgan pipeline. Maybe developing some technology around pipeline detection, and even possibly developing some new forms of fuel and or energy.
Okay. What advice do you have for young entrepreneurs on Vancouver Island?
You know, I would say my advice would be look to create a business that's more than just a job. And so what I mean by that is, to me, I think it's important to develop a business that is saleable, so that at some point in time, you know, it's more than just you in the business. So you have the ability to develop goodwill, and that goodwill can later on in life be transacted on, and you have something that is saleable at the end of your career.
Okay. The final question has to do with food, because food's an important part of my life. What's your favorite place to eat in the whole world?
Ooh. I you know what? I am definitely a sucker for tacos. I really, really like tacos. I think I'll just give a little shout out to a couple of great taco places on the island first. One would be Biblio Taco. The other would be Taco Fino.
So Biblio Taco is in your town.
It's in Cumberland, yeah.
And Taco Fino is in Tofino, but it also has locations in Victoria and Vancouver. Okay. Yeah.
And the Taqueria in Victoria. And then I would have to say my favorite tacos ever was, well, I was backpacking in Mexico through a region called Oaxaca, which is known for its food. I love street food. I have no problem eating it. And some of the different street vendors there in Oaxaca made the best tacos I've ever had. Oaxaca is known for its cheese production, and they make this really delicious stringy cheese, kind of like those cheese strings that you give kids. And they put a whole bunch of that string cheese on top of their tacos, and there's nothing better than that.
Okay. Thanks a lot for taking the time to talk with me, Adam. Looking forward to having you be one of our judges at Pitch Fest in September. And thanks a lot to everybody for listening. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Hans.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Lift Podcasts, a series all about the entrepreneurs, creatives, and resource people who are growing businesses on Vancouver Island. If you liked what you heard, please share via email and social media. And if you are sharing via social media, please use the island's talent tag or talent brand, hashtag WEAREVANISL. That's hashtag We Are Van Isle. And this is one of the tools we've created to promote entrepreneurs on the island. Click on that tag in any of your social media feeds and you should see a wealth of information and cool stuff pop up. Now, Lift is able to do its work because of the support of solution sponsors like SureCopy Courtney, Mastermind Strategy, 50th Parallel PR, Finneron Hyundai, Jaben Postal Films, Presley & Partners, and 98.9 The Goat, as well as community partners like Atlas Cafe,